Jesus Christ. So on May 4th, we'll be coming in here at 7 o'clock, and we will worship. I'm going to say it again. We will worship together, and then Pastor Ron will continue to preach on the end times out of the book of Revelation. I'm going to say this, Pastor, if that's okay, real quick. And if you don't come Wednesday nights, I encourage you to come. Come on. I encourage you to, let's give God at least, and I know we have our prayer time and our special time with God, but let's not forsake the gathering together, the coming together, assembling together the saints, amen? Because I believe this is the place where God wants to begin to build. If you're having problems in your relationship, God can begin to build, amen? So come out Wednesday night, be a part of the teachings on the book of Revelation, be a part of building that foundation, and you are going to see, and we know the word of God will not return void, you're going to begin to see God do some great and mighty things, amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Why don't we just give our pastor a big hand as he comes to preach this morning, amen?
Thank you, Pastor Jesse. It is great to be in the house of God this morning. And, you know, if you weren't here Wednesday night, we had a guest speaker, Wynn Goss. I put it on YouTube because the word that he spoke over us, the worship was great, but the word that he spoke over this church, over this house, over DeLon and I, over specific people, of what he wants to do was incredible. I told you, man, Wednesday was going to be great. It's 2 hours, but it's on YouTube, and I put it on the New Hope Family Worship Center Facebook, but I also put it on our website. Go and listen to it. Because, and when he was all done, he was right here. Because I've met people that want to have a Holy Ghost party all the time. And I love the Holy Spirit. And I love the presence of God. But a lot of people are okay if they just have a Holy Ghost party. But I'm not. I want everybody to have a Holy Ghost party, amen? I want everybody to get where God wants them to be. I don't want to see anyone left behind. So I'm not willing to sacrifice to leave the one, because Jesus went after that one so that they could all be a part of it, amen? And what he told me when he came off the stage on Wednesday night, he said, you know, he said, when you walked up there to receive the offering, he said, I just saw this. He said, I saw a wave, and we have heard this before about a wave over New Hope. And he said, you were on a surfboard coming down that wave. He said, but what the amazing thing was your whole congregation was on surfboards at the top of the wave coming down with you. And I'm like, amen, because that's my heart's desire, that we all go where God is calling us to, amen, that we don't leave people behind, that everybody has an understanding of God, that everybody has an understanding of salvation, that everybody has a working of the Holy Spirit in their life. That's my desire, not just a few. I don't want just a few to prophesy. I want us all to prophesy. I want us all to be able to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. I'm not looking just for God to raise up a few. I'm looking for us all to ride the wave of what God has for us and to see his kingdom just be manifested in our lives. Amen. So that's on YouTube off our webpage. You can go there and check it out, but I recommend it. You will not waste your time watching that from Wednesday night. Wynn Goss, it was just a phenomenal time, and you'll be blessed by watching that. Well, today I'm still in launch mode, and I might get out of launch mode next Sunday. I'm not sure yet, but the title of my message today is Don't Allow the Robbing. You know, I just in prayer this week, the Lord just said, I'm tired of my people being robbed. I said, okay, what do you want to do about it? So why don't we stand and let's read the word. We're going to read out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. If you can't tell, I've been battling all week, man, because when I went to China, everybody on my team was sick. They were hacking, sneezing, wheezing, coughing, and, you know, and I'm like, nope, got work to do. And I was busy, and I was preaching and praying and ministering, and then Monday when I got up, it was like, uh-oh. So I'm just going to try and keep it calm today, keep my voice to get through this. So here we go, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time in your word, I pray that, Father God, that this would be a time of perfecting, establishing, and strengthening and settling us in you. Father, that we would not be open to the enemy. We would resist him. We would stand strong. We'd be able to resist. Father, that we'd be sober and vigilant. And Father God, that we would not heed what the enemy is doing, but Lord, we would pay attention to you. We would not lose our focus of Jesus. We would keep our eyes on our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, as I was reading this, just today even, it says, after you had suffered a little while. How many of you have suffered a little while, huh? Let's get done. Let's get through that part. Amen. Let's move beyond the suffering. Amen. Let's get past that today in the name of Jesus. In the spirit and in the natural. But when you were born, and you were born in the natural sense, there was an event that took place in the supernatural. Right away, you became an enemy of Satan when you were born. Because Satan hates us. And then as you grew, the world began to tug on you and to entice you and to try to join you to the things of the world. The world tugs on us. It has a pull. And as the world grows around our flesh, becomes more aware of things of the world system. That's why Romans 16, it says, be innocent of evil. You know, there's so many things that are being so open today about things that, oh my gosh, we want to la, 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 la. We don't want to hear about, you know. And God tells us to be innocent of those things. So when we start out in life, we have these three things against us. We have Satan, we have the world, and we have our flesh. We have these three battles right out the gate from the get-go. Satan, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion. He's looking for the weak spot in your lives. He looks for anything, any weakness that you have that he can exploit. That's what he does. You've heard the saying, give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You know, you open the door a little, he'll push it open. You know, when you close a door and you got it on the lock, you got it latched, it's hard for somebody to open. But when it's open an inch, you can be on one side, but if they're more powerful than you, you know, they're going to push. It'd be like, you know, me got that door open a little, Margarita's on the other side, and that door's open a little. I'm going to push that door open. I know I am. I'm just going to push. I'm going to put my shoulder and go. That's what the devil does. He's always out there, and he's always looking. He's looking for the weak, the sick, the young, the isolated, and the unguarded. So, you know, we could think about spiritually weak. We could think about spiritually sick. We could think about spiritually young. And think about being isolated. This is when you isolate yourself, is when you stay away from this. When you stay away from the gathering together, you isolate yourself. Then you become an island unto yourself. And I've told you before, man, you know, just going to Africa, and when we went on a safari, and we saw the lions, man, there was this big lioness laying in the grass, and she had about seven other cats with her that weren't as big as her. But I know, man, that lion, with a leap and a jump, because there was this guy, because, you know, they had these vans. We weren't in one of those, but they had this van that the guy was sitting out on top, and I thought, you know, that lion could just go boop, boop, and that guy would be gone. It'd be that quick. because he was out in the open. And you know, that's what the enemy looks for. He looks for people that are isolated, out in the open by themselves, to try and devour. That's why this is important. That's why we need to come together to encourage and build each other up. Amen? Another ploy that the enemy's been using that as I was praying this week, the Lord showed me, is pride. This is what he showed me. The thought that we are strong enough to fight the devil. See, a lot of people pray against principalities and powers and darkness. A lot of people pray against spirits. A lot of people pray against the devil, and they don't have the authority or the power to do it. And so when people are prideful in that sense, and this guy Rick Joyner wrote a book, and he talked about ascending the mountain of God. That people ascended up the mouth of God and they got into his presence. And instead of, you know, to me, when you get to the mouth of God, when you get up into his presence, when you have such a relationship with him, the idea is that you go and not go off and fight the devil, but you go and you help people up the mountain. That's my objective. I want to help people come up. Let's come up. Amen? But some people get so prideful, they think, well, I'm going to go fight the devil. I'm going to go bind him. I'm going to, you know, go after principalities. And I tell you, that's why a lot of intercessors get sick. That's why a lot of intercessors' lives are torn up, is because they're trying to fight a battle that's not theirs to fight. I mean, even the archangel Michael, he didn't say, I rebuke you. He said, the Lord rebuke you. I got one, man. I'm covered. The archangel Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. He's like, I'm not going to do this on my own. You know, and so we have to be careful to be not let pride think, oh, we're so close to God that we can bind this, loose that, have authority over this and that. What you're given authority over is your flesh. You have authority over your flesh. And only you have authority over your flesh. See, we're looking for, we want to see grandiose things happen. And I think the greatest grandiose thing that we can see happen is that the people of God begin to move in such a way with the Lord, our focus on Jesus, that the enemy doesn't want to be around us. You see, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Because there the anointing flows. See, the devil can't stand that. So when we're walking in unity, it's amazing what God will do. When we're walking in the things of God and we're focusing on Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, you're my healer. Jesus, you're my redeemer. Jesus, you're my provider. And we just focus on Jesus. Instead of, oh, devil, I rebuke you off of this. And I rebuke. You see, we can get so prideful in the sense that we think we're all this when we're not. And a lot of that fighting is a waste of your breath. In Matthew chapter 4, you know, when Jesus was coming, Jesus said, it is written, and away with you, Satan, it is written. He didn't fight on his own. He declared what? What was written? What was written? And that's where God wants us to come. So we can't let the flesh try to overtake us in the sense that we're prideful enough to think that we can defeat Satan on our own, because we're not all powerful. Only Jesus is all powerful. Amen? And he's the one that has all the authority. Now, he gives us right and authority. He gives us authority, amen, to cast out demons. Amen? But I don't have to fight the devil. He does it for us. See, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. I'm not fighting. See, so it's be careful of what you're battling in the spirit, you know, because you can get yourself in trouble and oppressed by the enemy because you're trying to fight battles you shouldn't be fighting. So, and just remember, the Satan is contending for you every day before the Father in heaven. But Satan accuses, and Jesus defuses. Amen? The blood of Jesus which covers you, and you have Jesus interceding for you every day before the Father. So when the enemy is there to accuse you, Jesus is there to say, I don't see it. He diffuses. So we can't get caught up in this spiritual battle. That's not ours to fight. See, because remember, I've given you steps for God to fight your battles. Praise Him, give to Him, forgive and love. God will do it. If you can't do those four things, chances are your prayer life isn't that good, effective either. I'll keep going. Then you have the world. So you got Satan that's against you, then you have the world. And there's a way that seems right to the world, amen? But it is contrary to how God does things. I went and got a haircut yesterday, and it's kind of funny because a lady cut my hair. She just went off on liberals. I'm like, wow, really? Okay, you know? And I finally told her what I did. She goes, so you agree with me? I said, yeah, pretty much. I just thought it was pretty funny. She just went off, and she's like, you know, and I told her, I said, you know, I opened up my Facebook yesterday, and the number one thing I saw on Facebook yesterday was Target. Target's bathroom law. World systems. And the world is trying to get us to do things their way, to conform their way. Hey, listen, you don't have to sign a petition. You don't have to post on Facebook you're against what Target's doing. If you don't know, Target said it's okay for people to use whatever bathroom they deem they are that day. So if I walked into Target and I said, I feel like a female today, and I went into the female bathroom, it would be okay with Target. I would not get in trouble by Target. So that's their rule. So you don't have to sign a petition. You don't have to take them to court. All you got to do is just stop shopping at Target if you don't like it. Amen. Just that simple. Just don't do it. Amen? Don't participate in the world system. But we have it all around you. There is porn everywhere. Porn everywhere. You have sex porn on commercials. Can we put up? We have food porn on commercials. We have car porn on commercials. You know, say no to drugs. Look at that hamburger and french fries and cheese and M&M's and Doritos and Dr. Pepper. Don't look. That's what Delana says. Don't look. The world is trying to entice us into a system of debt and greed and materialism. It sinks its teeth in you by telling you you got to be in debt. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with going out and buying a new car as long as you can afford it, as long as you can still pay your tithes and stuff, amen? You know, but when you start making purchases that put you into bondage, that it's just a terrible thing when we're in bondage to something that somebody said the other day that 40% of all people, if they got hit with a $400 bill in the week, they wouldn't survive. Because we're so in debt. We're so maxed out. And we've got to learn to not buy into that system. I'm working so hard. I do not want to have any debt except for the place that I live. That's all I want. I do not want debt. You know, save money, buy a car that way, save money. I'm trying. It's hard. That's hard because, you know, when you're driving and you see a new car and you're, wow. You know, because when Delana and I, we were going to buy a new house. I don't know, I think it was 17 years ago, we were going to buy a new house. And I went and looked at this new house, this Monica. They were so nice. And they had everything we wanted. And it was like, wow, you know what, honey? We could afford this house. We could buy this house. And she said, that's not what God is saying. I'd be like, oh, I'm so glad I listened to my wife. You see, because when you get so in debt that you can't make any moves in your life, you can't make any adjustments, you can't be obedient to what God is telling you, then you got an issue. And that's what the world system is trying to get us to conform to. Get so in debt that they've got you. Get a credit card. You know, the world tugs on them 18-year-olds. Get a credit card. Get a credit card. And we get so prideful and say, I'm not going to be like other people. I'm going to manage it well. I'm going to pay that card off every month. You know, it's like, okay, let's see how it works for you. These are the ploys that the enemy uses to entice us into the American dream. The housing market fail was brought on by this. Giving loans to people that couldn't afford them. That's what the housing market fail was. They gave loans to people that should have never been able to buy those houses. They gave them low rate loan at a certain spot, and then when it kicked in, it was through the roof and nobody could afford to pay their loan. People took out seconds. Took out seconds and thirds because the economy was great. They were making all this money. They were living on their overtime, living on the extra. And you see, God, I believe, blesses us to be a blessing, amen? Not so that we're so in bondage that if we don't get to work 55, 60 hours a week, we're not going to make it. He wants us to be in the position that we live in within our means, that we're not caught up in this capitalistic materialism, amen? He doesn't want us to be so materialistic that when we have a guest speaker, you say, well, I can't give. I can't help. When your pastor's going to another country, you say, well, I can't help. When we're dealing with something specific, we say, oh, I wish I could. You know, I've seen people do it. I've seen people desire to do the things of the Lord and get all the way down into that place where God could really do something. And then they get rattled and go out and get in debt. It's like, wait a minute, weren't you going to go? And there's like, well, I bought a car. Well, now you can't go. Now you got debt. Now it's holding you back. And I don't want debt, amen. I want to be able to go. The Lord says, hey, go. Right now I've been talking with a brother in India. Because I'm going to go to India this year. I'm just not sure where. So they have an orphanage. And he's telling me the issues with their orphanage. He said, could you just send us some clothes and blankets and shoes? They can be used. We don't care. We just have the need. I said, I'll see what I can do. So I went on and I looked. And to ship a 18 by 18 by 24 inch box, max 50 pounds, is $100 to $125. I'm like, it'd probably be easier just to send the money. Let them buy all new. You know, but just the fact, he's like, just send us what you can because the need is so great. You know, and it's like, man, Lord, I want to do more in the world. I want to help. And this guy, you know, it's the organization I've told you about. They said, bread in one hand and the gospel in the other. And they have all these orphans that they have at their orphanage, and they have them all in one big house, one big room, and the government's coming down on them because some of the girls are teenage girls now, and they're telling them they can't all be in the same room now. So he's like, well, now we got to add a room, you know? And it's like, wow. You know, but then the trust level, you know, who can we trust that to send money to that's actually going to build the room, you know what I'm saying? Without going over there and saying, okay, let's see what you got. Who can we get to build the room? Here's the money. Let's build the room. Pay the contractors, you know, pay for the property. Do what it takes, you know, because that's what it takes to do that kind of stuff, is you got to actually get on the ground. You got to have boots in the field, amen? And that's a challenge. And I don't always want to be boots in the field. I want to send you to be boots in the field to go and make those arrangements. Let me send a builder down there that can say, okay, let's get this done. Let's make this happen here. Let's, you know, this is what it's going to take financially. This is what it's going to take. Rob, I should send you to Africa to buy the property that we want to buy for the church. Not me. I should send you. You should go and work the deal. You should go and say, hey, this is what we're going to pay. This is what we're going to do. And you need to pray about that, because I believe you're to go and to arrange that for me, and then we'll just come in and buy the land. And then we'll send a builder to go and build a church. We sent Mike Ayala to New Orleans for 6 months to build a church down there. We paid him as an intern. We supported him as an intern. And he went down there and he built. And he built for 6 months down there before he came back. We had one brother that we sent down there. This is after Katrina. And he still hasn't come back. He ended up getting married down there and staying. It's Paul Remick. And the guy that prophesied on Wednesday night, he said, this house is going to explode, but that people will come from L.A., as far away as Las Vegas, to come here, and that God was going to use this place to send people out, okay? But we can't be so tied up in a world system that we can't go. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I can't take a two-week vacation. I have to take my vacation pay every year to pay my bills. I hear that too. Used to be me. Just pay me for my vacation. I need the money more than I need time off. I know we've all done it. But God's wanting to bring us into a position where we're not doing it. He wants to bring us into a position where we can afford to take a two-week trip and go. You know, I'm going to go to Pakistan and India in November. I'm going to Pakistan for 4 days, doing 4 days of open air crusades. I'll preach in four or five churches on the Sunday that I'm there. And then I'm going to catch a flight over to India. And I picked a city that I really want to go to because I am familiar with a lot of people there in India. And I looked at my plane ticket for that. Can you imagine how much money that would cost in a plane ticket? It was $1,100. I'm like, man, I want to buy it right now. $1,100 is cheap to fly that far around the world and hit those nations and do that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, $1,100. It cost me $500 just to fly to Kentucky and back. So you got the world system that's trying to tug us. Then we have our flesh, our own nature. The way our flesh goes has a lot to do with our own desires. What do you desire more than anything? What you desire is what you feed the most. So what are you feeding? What are you feeding in your life? Because that's where your desires are. Because if that, and you, it'll define where you're at right now, what you're desiring the most. Because that's what you'll be feeding. That's what you'll be, you know, you'll be looking for. You'll be feeding that. What is your mind meditating on? What are you focusing on? What are you strategizing for? I see, you hear what I'm strategizing for. I'm strategizing, how can I go to Pakistan and India, and I want to take a couple of extra suitcases with me for them kids in India. That's what I'm trying to strategize for. How much am I going to have to pay? How much can I do that it's cost-worthy, cost-effective? See, that's what I'm strategizing for. I'm strategizing for how can I get Rob in the public library right now to do marriage classes in the public library. We don't want to do them in the church. Heck, we do marriage classes here, and half of you don't come anyways. We want to do them in the community where they're saying, hey, we need help. Will you help us? That's what we're trying to do. So this is what Pastor Rob's working on. We're going to the library to do marriage classes. We want to see marriages get strong in our community, not just in the church, amen? So, you know, I mean, we're strategizing these things. How can we touch the area around us? You know, the food ministry, the food every week. Every Tuesday, Elizabeth's out here with Crystal, and they're giving away food on Tuesdays. You know, every Monday, RL's out here on the sidewalk giving away food to the community on Mondays. Every Friday, Valerie's got, you know, she had so much food for people. She had, you know, the line of food was like this wide on Friday. Bags of groceries that she gave away to 70 families on Friday. Incredible. But they all heard the message of the gospel of the kingdom in the fellowship hall before they got their food. See, we're strategizing. How can we build the kingdom of God from Corona to the ends of the earth? Amen. And that's not, me, Rob, Jesse, we can't just do it all by ourselves. We need you to get involved to be able to willing to say, I'll go. I believe that when we're in the hour that God is calling all his people to take their place in the kingdom of God. To take your place. He may not be calling you to be a pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, or prophet, but I do know this. He says, go into all the world, amen? So I know that God is raising people up in this hour. He's not looking for superstars. He's looking for people that will say, here I am, Lord, send me. Whether it's Josie leads worship every Friday out there. Every Friday, Josie is there and leading worship. She's got these songs. She does it in Spanish, in English. Today we had just an acoustic guitar. Amanda, could you imagine if you only had a drummer? Because that's all she's got. She's got one guy that comes with and plays the drums, and she leads worship to the drums. See, at some point, the body has got to rise up. We got to put down our flesh and step into the Spirit. So in order to do that, I got a whole bunch of stuff in here, but I'm running out of time. In order to do that, number one, we need to believe. We need to believe. Number one, you need to believe in the Word of God. You need to believe what it says. Stop reading romance novels and start reading the kingdom of God. Stop reading Harry Potter witchcraft and read the kingdom of God. Amen. Put the word of God in your heart and in your mind and in your soul and let it be the first thing in your mouth. Do not let the kingdom of God be an afterthought. The Lord was speaking to me this morning. He said there'd be somebody here today that you've been getting these little thoughts and you would say in the back of your head. And they've been good thoughts. And the Lord said, that's him. And I don't want you to think of them as in the back of your head, but I want you to bring them to the front of your head. I want them to bring the front of who you are. Not at the afterthought, not at the back of who you are, but I want you to bring them to the front. God doesn't want to be an afterthought in your life any longer. And I know I'm talking to somebody here today, right now. God wants to be at the forefront of your mind. He wants to be the focus of your attention. And you've been getting these thoughts, and it's almost like he's wanting to create dreams inside of you. But they've been afterthoughts. They've been things that you only allow in when you're in a position of rest. But you run most of the time, and you're not in that place of rest where God can speak to you. And God's wanting you to get into that position of rest so that back of your mind thought becomes your focus. Am I speaking to somebody today? Because God's bringing it to the front. And he wants to renew your attention. And you have to believe. You have to believe that God wants to do this in you. You have to believe that God wants to do these things through you. You have to believe to the point that you stay sober. And, I mean, the kingdom of God is against drunkenness. Amen? The kingdom of God is against drunkenness. Amen? Don't get drunk. Be sober. And what I mean sober is it's not just about alcohol, but, you know, Rob, we can get in such a slumber that we're not paying attention. And he's being sober. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to see and to hear what God is saying to you. And then be vigilant to do what he's saying. Amen. Be accomplish what God is showing you. Be sober. Don't let things just slide. Catch it. When God has got that thought, catch it. Be sober. But when you're drunk in your spirit, when you're in the sense that you're just not paying attention, you're going to miss. But if you're always sober and vigilant, you're going to capture what God is saying to you to the point that you're doing it. Amen. When you're not sober, you're drunk. And I put in my notes here, you don't have all your senses working for you. You're slow to respond. Your mind stays in a fog. Your body can't maintain a straight line. You let things into your life that God never intended. Amen? You allow that stuff to come in. You'll entertain darkness because you're drunk and not in your right mind. But if you're sober, you don't tolerate darkness. When you're aware, you're like, oh, get away from me. You're like, get back. you know, when you're aware. But, you know, when you're just, whatever comes at you and you just tolerate it. You got to be sober in the Lord. You got to believe. See, because when you're believing in the things of God, you know, it's kind of like David. 1,000 may fall at my left, 10,000 at my right, but it's not coming near me. It's like I'm able to stand. People say something about you, so. You react the wrong way. You repent. And you keep moving, amen? You got to get believe the word of God to the point that you're planted, that you're rooted, that your roots grow deep in the kingdom of God. That when the waves come, you're not torn apart. You're not torn apart by what things of this life. It's like there's two forces that pull in the opposite direction. I was praying for somebody the other day, man, and it was like I just cut the cord off. I mean, I just like pulled it right out of her head and I cut it off. I said, no more. Because we allow the enemy to pull us around by this and that and that and this. And let me tell you what happened. I told this person. Post-nasal drip. You know what that is? You know, that's where your nose is always running and stuff. They call it post-nasal drip. It's not the disease. It's the result of a disease. It's the result of allergies or the result of a sinus infection or something. Post-nasal drip is a result of what's going on inside. It's not the problem. See, a lot of us in the body of Christ have just been willing to treat the post-nasal drip. We haven't gone after the problem. We haven't gone after what causes the post-nasal drip. So a lot of you have been angry, and you haven't gone after what causes the anger. A lot of you have been frustrated, and you haven't gone after what's been causing the frustration. A lot of you have been in and out, and you haven't gone after what's causing you to be in and out. A lot of you have not tithed, and you haven't gone after what's been causing you to not tithe. You see, you've just been dealing with the post-nasal drip. When you deal with post-nasal drip with maybe a little squirt up your nose of that antihistamine stuff. But you're not getting to the root, and you're not cutting it off. You're getting pulled, pulled, pulled. But when you start believing that God has a plan for you, that God has his intentions for you, that Jesus came and died for you, and that he wants to use you fully, then you start saying, well, he can't use me like this. And then you start getting to the root. I told this person one day, I said, what are your issues? Oh, pastor, if I told you my issues, we'd be here all day. I said, okay, start. Well, you know, there was this and this. I said, okay, and I wrote it down. They're like, you're going to write it down? I go, oh, yeah. And we went down that line, and then we went through, and we forgave all those things that happened. We took time. Pastor, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. We need to do this. Keep going. Keep talking. And we just kept going down the line. And we were done, and she'd forgiven all those things. I did. I pulled that root out of her. I cut it off. No more. And then I gave her the paper. I said, go home and burn it. Go home and burn it. Be free. But a lot of times we just want to, we don't want to get in. We don't want to find out. So you got to believe that God's got to do something. You got to sever it, the things of the world, the things of your flesh. You know what they are. You've got to begin to thrive on the things of the kingdom of God. Number two, you need to obey. I got to go fast now. It's already time. Obey. You're not wrestling the enemy to win any part of your life. You resist the enemy. You're not wrestling the enemy. Okay? You're resisting the enemy. You resist the enemy by submitting to God. So I'm staying submitted to God, and that causes me to resist the enemy. I don't resist the enemy because he's right there and I'm trying to not. I resist the enemy by going to the Lord and I focus on Jesus. I focus on the Lord, and that causes me to resist what the devil's trying to throw at me. Amen? But the enemy tries to get us off focus of things. But let me just tell you, if we could just begin to do these things. I wrote down 8 things for you. Write these down as we go. Number one, just praise the Lord always, okay? Let's just obey the Word of God. Let's be obedient to the Word of God. Let God work in us and let Him fight for us. Let's obey the Lord. Let's praise the Lord, okay? Number two, let's go and tell others what Jesus is doing in us. You know, you could do like Conrad's doing it. Just take a picture of it if you need to. And go and tell others about Jesus. Let the Word of God just flow out of your mouth. Just share with people what Jesus is doing. Oh, we had such a great lunch at this little Mexican restaurant right here the other day because we got to share with a guy that was sitting there having lunch, and come to find out he's coming to Pastor Otto's worship conference here in May. And then we got to share with the waitress Jesus, and I believe she's going to come too. And number three, love each other. Just love each other. Thanks, Margaret. Look at your husband or wife and say, I love you. Come on, Conrad. Tell somebody you love them. And number four, give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Number five, forgive each other. Amen. Number six, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Isn't that what it says? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Come on, okay? And then pray all the time. And then 8, help the widows and orphans. See, if we just start doing what the Word of God tells us, everything else is going to start flowing with us. But when we start leaving these things out, when we start canceling them out, well, I don't have to do that today. I don't need to do that. No, man, it's time that the body of Christ does the Word of God. Now, this is just 8 things that just flowed out of my heart the other day that God is calling us to do. But there's so much commands in His Word of God that He's saying, do this. And if we would just start doing this, you're going to see God manifest in your life. And then you won't have to worry about the gifts of the Spirit because they're just going to flow out of you. It's just going to come down like rain. You're going to be like, wow, did you see that? Because you're just doing the Word of God. You're living in His presence. You're obeying His Word. Amen? And lastly, when you will obey, worship. Number 3, worship. Let your heart be filled with worship to the King. Amen? John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. It's worshiping in your heavenly language. It's worshiping in tongues. It's allowing your spirit to just connect with God and pray in the Spirit. Amen? And to just worship Him in the Spirit. It's praising Him in the language that you know, in your English or Spanish or whatever language you prefer, but letting it flow out of you. Amen? Letting the Spirit of God, singing to the Lord, making up songs, making hearts of melody to the Lord. Amen? Singing over each other, blessing one another. Amen? And you can enter in to the presence of God as far as you want to go through worship. You can enter in to His gates with thanksgiving in His heart. You can enter His courts with praise. And I believe that worship is what brings you into the holies of holies. It brings you into that place. You see, and it's not Juwan and Amanda that are going to get you there. It's you entering in. So if you took these 3 things today, it comes down to this last slide. Believe, obedience, and worship. And it just spells bow. Bow before the Lord. And I believe that today we're to do that. Maybe you can't get down on your knees, But maybe you could just bow your head. And if you can get down on your knees, I prefer you to get down on your knees. Let's bow before the Lord today. And from this position today, maybe you said, Pastor Ron, I've been getting robbed from the enemy, and I'm done. I'm tired of this. If that's you today, you know the enemy's been robbing from you, and you want us just to join in agreement today, just raise your hand right where you're at today. Amen, 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 amen. Many hands. Oh, Father. Father, we're your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And I pray today, Father God, where the enemy has come to rob, to steal, kill, and destroy your people, your word declares that you've come to give us life and life more abundantly. So we are here today to bow down before you. Lord, because we believe in you. We believe your word. And Father, we are here today to be obedient to you. Father, to obey what your word declares. Help us in these days to walk it out, Father God, your word in our lives. Help us to even take these 8 things and make them the active part of our lifestyle every day. And Father God, help us to worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, that our hearts be filled with worship all the time, Lord. That, Lord, that we would take time to bow before the Lord God, our maker. The Lord God, our provider. The Lord God, our healer. The Lord God who gives and takes away. The Lord God who is just and righteous and faithful. Lord, we praise you and we thank you today for the loving kindness that you have towards us. And I pray, as you've declared in Colossians 3, Father God, that we are the holy and beloved of God. I pray for holiness to be upon us, Father God. And Lord, and that your love would arise in us, that you give us such strength, Father God. That, Lord, that we could truly ride that wave of what that man of God saw the other night. And, Father, that we'd be propelled forward in the things of the kingdom, Father. We'd move forward, Father God, with what you have planned for us. And, Lord, that your joy would be our strength. I pray for healing over every person here today, Father God. Healing be our portion, Father. Let healing come right now in the name of Jesus. Let it just rain down, Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Cover. Protect your people, Father God. Yes, Lord. I pray, Father, that from this day forward, that things would not just be in the back of our mind, but they come to the front. Lord, that you would be our attention. You would be our focus. We could begin to strategize your plans for our lives, Father. To build the kingdom. To build the kingdom. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. I speak blessing over this congregation today, Father. And I thank you, Father God, that you're fighting on behalf of us today. Because we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And you are the good shepherd. And it is you, as the shepherd, who keeps the wolves away. So I pray, Father God, for the restoration of the robbing that's taken place. Lord, well, maybe we've even fallen short. Or Lord, maybe it's just a direct assault against us from the enemy. But I pray, Psalms 5:12, around every person here today, around the righteous, you surround them with a shield of favor. I pray that today over this body. And I pray your joy be our strength. And Father God, that as we would go today, that we would open our mouths and tell somebody what you're doing. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Why don't we stand and give the Lord a big clap today, huh? Hallelujah.